Arguments are underway in the Supreme Court in two cases that could affect what you see on social media platforms. One is from Florida, the other from Texas, both prompted by conservative complaints about censorship. Florida Solicitor General Henry Whitaker says Facebook, TikTok, X, and others are not unlike phone companies.
Social networking companies, too, are in the business of transmitting their users' speech. Their users are the ones who create and select the content that appears on their sites.
Correspondent Jan Crawford with the argument from social media platforms.
They're arguing that, listen, I mean, we should be treated just like newspapers and magazines. We have a First Amendment right to kind of moderate this content. You can't go tell a newspaper, you got to put this story in there and you can't put that one in there.
The Supreme Court's decision could be the most important to date on the scope of the First Amendment in the internet era. It's expected to be released by June. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The search for a missing three-year-old boy in eastern Wisconsin is in its seventh day. Elijah Vu hasn't been seen since last Tuesday in Two Rivers. Police say they're concentrating their search on rivers in the city. Meanwhile, Elijah's mother and her boyfriend were in court on Friday on child neglect charges. A new report says only one in three people with commercial health insurance can find proper mental health care. Stanford psychiatrist Benjamin Miller was one of the lead authors of the report. He says the American system treats mental health as less important.
And when you're in a crisis, will you or your loved one get the help that they need? You have to work harder to get that help. It's almost like the cruelest irony in healthcare.
The report was released by the mental health advocacy group Inseparable. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Little Red Barn Dog Rescue is looking for community support to pay off some medical bills and potentially expand their building. According to a WQOW report, the organization says they need to make some upgrades to their building to make sure their volunteers have running water and on-site bathrooms. The Dog Rescue is hosting a charity dinner on Saturday and hope the community can step up to improve the organization for their volunteers and dogs. More information can be found on the rescue's Facebook page. The Rice Lake teenager involved in a Barron County crash that killed two teenage girls has been sentenced. 18-year-old Troy Hune Jr. was sentenced to 8 years of probation on two counts of homicide by negligent operation of a vehicle. Hune's car reportedly crashed and rolled over in 2022, killing a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old and injuring another 14-year-old. He was accused of operating under the influence of a controlled substance. He reportedly went over a bump near railroad tracks at about 70 miles per hour. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Brewers baseball underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers kicked off their spring training games with a win over the Padres Saturday, but a 10-3 loss to the Rockies Sunday. Brewers manager Pat Murphy says their best hitters must find their way into the batting lineup.
And that's important. You know, I'm looking at bats 3-4, that kind of thing is important to me, you know.
NBA, the Bucks with another win. They beat the 76ers 119-98. The Bucks host the Hornets tomorrow night. College hoops, Marquette with an 88-64 win over Xavier. Cam Jones scoring 34 points on his 22nd birthday. Head coach Shaka Smart says the Golden Eagles show their EGBs, energy generating behavior.
You know, our theme for the day was EGBs, which are always important to us, but we felt like today, you know, we wanted to be at a high level with that, regardless of circumstances. And I thought even, you know, when the game was tied, you know, 8-10 minutes into the game, you know, our guys stuck with that.
That's Marquette's Shaka Smart with sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Wildly warm for winter as winds whip out of the south up to 30 miles per hour, soaring our high temperatures to the mid-60s. This will shatter our record of 56 degrees set back in 2000. The warmth continues tomorrow before the storm strikes. Currently, it's 39.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, philosopher you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Piney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. So very, very happy to have you along with us. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. As always, you can call or text, join the show at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PASTY. Yes, or make a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or former Twitter. Busy, busy show coming up today, coming up at 10:33. He is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of New York, and he is involved now with a nonprofit organization called Keep Our Republic, which is dedicated to ensuring that democracy survives. John Vaudreuil is going to be joining us at 10:33 to talk about the disturbing increase in the number of threats against members of our judiciary. Yeah.
Okay.
This is happening all across the board. So, tragically. So, John will be joining us at 10:33 to talk about that. Coming up at 11:06, we are expanding our segment Beyond the Cheese. We're going Beyond the Cheese at 11:06 with Tony Melanthin. He is the director of the United Soybean Board. And soybeans, a big product here in Wisconsin.
Very big.
Very big. And Tony's going to be explaining a couple different things. In one capacity, he's going to explain, I heard this from Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe, in one of her reports, that he is redoing three homes in his house using only materials made from soybeans. I know.
That's amazing.
I know. So he's going to join us to explain how that works. And then in the second segment, we're going to talk about tariffs and how this affects our farmers, how this affects consumers, what do tariffs do overall, how do they work, is it good, is it bad, all that kind of stuff. That is coming up next hour starting at 11:06. But we wanted to start off with what's happening here at home. Republican State Senator Dan Knodel yesterday on WISN's Up Front says there is no scenario he will bring the Monday processing bill to a vote before the Senate Elections Committee before the end of the session. So this would have allowed election officials, primarily in the city of Milwaukee, one day, the Monday before Election Day, to start counting all the absentee ballots in order to avoid what they call these ballot dumps that happen because we are the Milwaukee is the largest city in the state, and it takes more time to process all these ballots. And so if we gave them an extra day to get a head start, this could avoid that, but now, no, we're not going to do that.
No, I don't feel like it.
We do have a sound clip, Calvin, from yesterday's Up Front on WISN, talking to Republican State Senator Dan Knodel.
The legislation passed the assembly with bipartisan support, and since then, we've heard Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson respond. We've heard the governor respond as well. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss also responded this past week. Let's take a listen to his remarks.
I think if you looked at what happened in the assembly, it was a good vote. It was one that I think increases transparency and it makes sure people have more faith in the system. I have no idea why senators would not
want to solve the problem of these late-night ballot dumps. Hopefully they'll come to their senses and they could get the vote in the March floor period. I know the main opponent of it is Representative Branchin, and I didn't think she had as much influence in the Senate as I'm sure she must, but hopefully we have the ability to have people come to their common senses and not listen to people who are on the fringy end of the spectrum.
So not only your reaction to those comments, but do you think that there's any scenario that this does come for a vote?
Sure. Well, I would question the Speaker's opinion that we don't have common sense in the Senate. I feel confident about my common sense and place, and where I take opinion from comes from the hearing.
Okay.
I'm just going to say this, Senator Knodel. I don't have a lot of confidence in your common sense when you're like, I confidence in my common sense. Also, I feel like this is a situation, and I hope Robin is listening. This is a situation where if I was standing next to him right now,
Robin Voss.
Yes. And we were watching this happen, we'd both look at each other and go, what? And we'd agree that this is insanity because this is a bipartisan vote.
Yeah.
And for anyone who's sitting there going, well, they're just looking after the process and the system and the whatnot. In 2020, Senator Devin Lemahieu proposed the same measure. Guess what happened then? Didn't go through.
Nothing.
Now it's not going to go through either. Why?
Because it gives more fuel when November rolls around.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump loses, they can again scream, there were ballot dumps in the middle of the night. My hair's on fire. Run, run, run. It's, oh my God.
I saw a dog eating my ballot. Yeah. All to cause consternation and confusion over something that would have been solved.
Yes.
Or helped.
Or helped. It would have helped.
It would have helped.
It would have helped.
I mean, if anything, they should be counting those ballots maybe at the end of every day they get them to help out. But, yeah.
Well, and I find it also interesting. Janelle Branchin was mentioned in there in Robin Voss's comments.
I'm sorry. Can you feel that shade?
Janelle is in a little trouble of her own now.
Mm-hmm.
With some people looking at her and her involvement in the fake electors. And she's got her own thing she's going to have to be dealing with. But the reason why I make this assertion that they don't want this passed, they don't want this agreed upon, again, is because of when November rolls around, should Donald Trump lose, they want to be able to come back to this as their explanation that there was hanky-panky going on in the city of Milwaukee with the ballots and it's not fair, et cetera, et cetera. We also have a clip from Fox News, Bret Baier, of all people, doing like journalistic kind of things, talking to the former president about the 2020 election that he lost.
You lost the 2020 election. Brett. You take a look at all of the stuffed ballots. You take a look at all of the things, including things like the 51 intelligence agents.
There were recounts in all of the swing states. There was not significant widespread fraud.
We're trying to get recounts, real recounts, not just numbers of votes.
Widespread corruption. There was not a sense of that. There were lawsuits, more than 50 of them, by your lawyers, some in front of judges that you appointed.
Look at Wisconsin.
That came out with
Wisconsin
no evidence.
Wisconsin has practically admitted it was rigged.
We did.
Other states are doing the same right now, and it's continuing.
There have been reviews of every election. Potential case of voter fraud in six battleground states, and they found fewer than 475 cases.
You know why? Because they didn't
affected.
Look at the right things.
Okay. Are you going to be
counting? They were counting ballots, not the authenticity of the ballot. The ballots were fake ballots.
Are you going to go? This is how you're going to tell that independent suburban voter
we're,
to vote
we're
for
off.
You?
Yeah.
The way Bret Baier has to talk to him,
like a child.
Hey. No, that didn't happen.
You have to be gentle when you're talking to him.
I mean, we're trying to get real recounts. Bro, it's 4 years later, man. You're good.
Well, and this is a fact that there were more than 60 cases that were brought across the country, many of them in front of judges that Donald Trump appointed. And they lost every single one of those cases except for one.
Except for one.
Except for one.
Except for one, yeah. you know, going back to the whole ballot vote, I want to go back to actually what Robin Voss had to say too. And it says, and this ties in with the former president speaking. He said, we want to make sure that the elections are safe, that people have trust in them, that people, and you can tell that he is over this in the, like he would,
Robin Voss.
Yeah. Between the whole Gableman fiasco and everything that's going on, the recall, everything he's going through, he's just like, you know what? Let's just do this, get it done with. I'm tired of it. I might not even stick around. That's not something he said. That's something I don't know if he'll run again.
Oh, I think you're onto something there. Yeah, I really do. I think he's like, okay, fine. I'm not going to be here. Let's make it a little fairer.
Yeah.
Once I'm gone.
Yeah, but you got the president say Wisconsin pretty much admitted that it was fake.
Since when?
Who?
When did this happen?
He's so confident in his common sense about things. It's just at what point do you get bored with this narrative? I mean, the supporters, he only talks about like 3-4 things. And at what point do you just get bored with it?
Well, I did watch because he was at CPAC over the weekend and he made a couple other appearances over the weekend. And one of the reporters at one of his engagements said after 45 minutes, people start leaving because they've heard it's the same spiel. It's the same shtick.
He's not even there's no speech. He just goes up there and riffs. As a joke last week when I was hosting, well, you were out on Friday. We played a Trump speech during one of the segments, and we just had it playing the entire time. And we'd bring it down, and we would talk, and then we'd bring it up and see where he was at. And he just ramble.
They talk about Joe Biden and his cognitive abilities.
Yeah.
I challenge anyone to read a speech by President Joe Biden and then read a speech by former President Donald Trump. It will blow your mind if you read the transcript. You have to read the transcript. Over the weekend, Donald Trump called Melania Mercedes. He forgot the name of Eric and Laura, his son and daughter-in-law. He had the names of all his kids written on a note card, and he still forgot his son,
and you know,
Eric.
And the thing is that's absolutely fine when you're that age. Sometimes that happens, but you then can't make it like one of the cornerstones of your campaign to say the other guy
is feeble.
I mean, I'm half his age and I would have to have that information
written down too,
because I would start stumbling all over myself.
Well, and the other thing I want to point out real quickly is that, and I can look further into this, but from what I remember, the largest amount of voter fraud in the country happened in Florida at the Villages.
What?
Yaha.
Stop it.
Yes. All right. Bill from Econowalk, I see you on the line. Stay with us if you would like to join us. 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Pasty.
You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
She is mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. James Sands. James
Sands. This is 93.5 The Tap.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Closing time.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Just a reminder, the one, the only, the Maggie Dawn Show, premiering today at 2 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. Monday through Friday. The woman is brilliant.
A force of nature.
She is a force to be reckoned with. I'm honored. I'm going to be joining her from 3 to 3:30 today on the inaugural Maggie Dawn Show. She's been on the network for a while, but doing from 6 to 7. So she's going to be joining us on the lineup weekly.
Midday,
2 to 4 p.m. The Maggie Dawn Show kicking off today at 2 p.m. We have been talking about the fact that we are not going to move forward on an election measure which would allow...
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at the eyes that are rolling so far back in your head, they're going to pop up the back of your skull.
I should be able to see what's behind me. Their refusal to make it easier for election workers in Milwaukee to start counting absentee ballots a day earlier, that's not going to happen. And I think this is because they want questions to remain. They want there to be questions about the integrity of our elections. So if and when Trump loses in November, they can say, see, they cheated.
Well, it's also like part and parcel of what's happening lately, too, with especially like the marijuana bill that was ready to go through.
Yeah.
And the Senate said, nah, like Devin Lemieux just doesn't want to like we usually spend a lot of time criticizing Robin Voss. Rightfully so, in my opinion. But Devin Lemieux, I mean, you're just senioritis, man. You're just coasting to this 10-month break you're going to be taking on and collecting them dollars.
Yeah.
I mean.
And they are going on a 10-month vacation, essentially.
You can't put through bipartisan. And then he says something to the effect of, well, I'm not going to enforce my influence. I can't do that. Yes, you can. You're the Senate leader.
So and that's your job?
And then in the story, when we're talking about the ballots, he said to the paper, I can't do that because of procedures within the committee. That's not true at all either. That's an excuse. Those procedures can be suspended by the Senate if they want.
If they wanted to.
I guess what I have to do is, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my car right now. I'm going to drive to Madison before they break. I'm just going to knock on the door of Senator Lemieux and be like, you have a lot more power than you know, right?
Are you gonna go give him an ego fluff? Or do you think he's lacking in confidence?
I think he's lacking in believing in himselfness. You know, Knodel has got the self confidence, his common sense. I'm sorry, his common sense. But you know what, Devin needs to believe in himself.
Buck up, Devin.
Hey, man,
you got it.
You got this.
You can do it. 844-967-2789. Bill from Oconomowoc. Thank you for your patience, Bill. And good morning. What do you want to say?
Good morning. Great show as always. How in 2024 has politics sunk to a new low that legitimately people talk about a man with 91 felonies and 26 sexual assaults as viable for the office of the presidency? I cannot believe people just tolerate that. Number two, if your listeners, and I'm sure you guys have, researched how much Fox News had lied about the border and instilled a riot there by saying open borders and everything else, and nobody calls Fox News on that. 2024, there is no accountability because nobody calls these people out to justify their accountability, especially with the office of the president. Thanks. And you guys have a great day.
You too, friend.
A lot of people.
Thank you so much, Bill. Really always appreciate you checking in. And as always, we appreciate you listening. To Bill's point, And we're going to do this tomorrow because we have a guest coming up at 10:30. Jimmy Kimmel sent a couple of people to interview some Trump supporters.
Yeah.
And the reporter picked a quote and attributed it to Joe Biden. And on hearing the quote that they believed President Biden said, the Trump supporters said, well, obviously he's cognitively impaired and is in no position to be president.
Yeah.
And then the reporter said, oh, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. This is a comment from former President Trump. The instantaneous reversal of, oh, well, that makes sense because Donald Trump said blank.
Yeah.
The instant defense mechanism for whatever Trump says, it's automatic with these people. There is no, you can put the quote right in front of them.
Yeah.
And tell them it's Biden and they will condemn it. And the same quote, tell them it's Trump and the excuses fly.
It goes to speak to many things like that, you know, and no, I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to water it down. These people who you speak to at these, they're ignorant. They don't know their Bible. They don't know their candidate. They don't know the news. They just know what they're being told. These people who tell us all the time, think for yourself, do your own research. Don't be sheeple. They're the ones who are being led so simply. And this is something that people have been doing for years now to them. I mean, like people who say like, oh, Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America right now. Okay, so he's the one who pulled out of Afghanistan. Oh, no, that was Joe Biden. Oh, now it's Joe Biden. There are two government, like,
and two militaries.
There's so many, you know, it's something that Bill said that was very interesting is who are these people who can tolerate him? There are the people at those rallies who love him, who think he's sent by God.
Yes.
But there is no other man who can do what he is doing.
Yes.
It's the individuals that make me so angry who shrug their shoulders and say, well, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. Why not? Why not this one time? What do you have at risk that will change if Joe Biden becomes president? My guess is not a lot, because I'll say this. As an American, when Donald Trump was president, I'm very privileged. My life didn't change a whole bunch.
Right.
But you're going to sit here and go, I don't want to vote for Biden. I can only vote for Trump. He's a Republican. He's my guy. Why do you tolerate that?
Well, and Liz Cheney even said, she said, we can survive bad policies. We cannot survive the shredding of our Constitution.
Absolutely.
Scott McKellen has a comment on the live stream, and I couldn't agree more. I saw a bumper sticker yesterday, make America kind again. Amen to that. Can't it be just that simple? I hear you, Scott. Let's work on it in little ways every day.
Yep.
And absolutely, just try and bring some civility back to life.
That'd be nice.
Wouldn't it?
I feel like that's what we're kind of doing sometimes here.
I think we try.
Yeah. I want to get that hat that Dr. Lyerly has that says, make vulvas great again. That'd be awesome.
Merch. MOA merch. All right. We have news on the way next, followed by a great entertainment minute with Pete Schwabba. And then when we return, we're going to talk about the increasing number of threats against members of our judiciary. John Vaudreuil is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin. He will be joining us on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A second person has been arrested in a hit-and-run crash that injured a Minnesota woman in southwest Wisconsin. Police in Westby say Robert Purvis is charged with first-degree reckless endangerment. Police say he was riding in the UTV that hit and seriously injured the woman earlier this month. Mitchell McKittrick was arrested soon after the crash. More Americans are falling victim to mortgage scams. It happens when ownership of a home or property is transferred without permission. All it takes to start the process is a fake driver's license or a stolen Social Security number.
The con artist could then take the deed to a bank, obtain a fraudulent mortgage, and walk away with thousands of dollars.
Faith Kimbrough is a local official in Indiana. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Boyceville man was killed in a head-on Dunn County crash on Sunday. According to the Wisconsin State Patrol, the crash happened around 1 p.m. on Sunday on Wisconsin Highway 25 at North Line Road. Authorities say a pickup truck moved into the other lane to pass another vehicle and hit the victim's car head-on. The 57-year-old Boyceville man was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash. The driver of the pickup truck was taken to the hospital for treatment and is expected to recover. The cause of the crash is under investigation. The Wisconsin State Assembly has approved legislation to bar hunters in northern Wisconsin from killing any does for the next 4 years. The bill is meant to allow the northern herd to build back up after a slower-than-usual hunting season. Department of Natural Resources officials say hunters killed about 15% fewer bucks and nearly 30% fewer does. Under the bill, children 16 years or younger would be allowed to kill a buck or doe, but would only be allowed to kill one. The bill goes to the state Senate next. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Almaz Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Law & Order DA Jack McCoy is finally taking off his robe. Last Thursday was Sam Waterston's final episode of the long-running courtroom drama. Waterston started on the show as a prosecutor before becoming the Manhattan DA. He's been on the show for 19 seasons dating back to 1994. His role will be filled by actor Tony Goldwyn. Sam Waterston appeared in a total of 405 episodes, which is close to the number of spinoffs Law & Order has produced. Speaking of spinoffs, HBO has announced they will produce a second Game of Thrones derivation. Collider announces that the latest GOT spinoff will be titled A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, The Hedge Knight. Like the first offshoot, House of the Dragon, Hedge Knight will also be a prequel. The network says the show will debut in 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Wildly warm for winter as winds whip out of the south up to 30 miles per hour, soaring our high temperatures to the mid-60s. This will shatter a record of 56 degrees set back in 2000. The warmth continues tomorrow before the storm strikes. Right now, 44 degrees.
The Todd Almaz Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Good morning, everybody. And welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. If you want to call in or text, you can always join us at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Our next guest is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, and he's also part of the nonprofit group called Keep Our Republic, a nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to safeguarding the pillars of American democracy. John Vaudrail, good morning, John. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Jane. Doing fine. Thank you.
Well, one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you, and I got a press release from Keep Our Republic, is about the alarming increase in the number of federal prosecutors who are getting death threats and specific threats. So let's start there and talk about that, John. You were a former judge. What was your personal experience?
First of all, as much as I would have been a judge, I actually was a prosecutor.
Oh, I apologize.
No, that's okay. It's not a criticism. So I spent 38 years as a federal prosecutor here in Western Wisconsin, the last seven and a half as the United States Attorney under President Obama. And my personal experience, fortunately, was not to have received death threats or threats against my family or friends. I had a dear friend up in Minneapolis, a federal prosecutor there, who was prosecuting a violent drug gang. And for several months, his young children were escorted to school every day by U.S. Marshals. He had a U.S. Marshal escort. So I didn't have personal experience with threats, but we were very careful. We never had any online presence, still don't. We shred personal information. We were always told to be on the lookout on, you know, Sunday night for people going through our trash here in Madison. So that's kind of my personal experience.
So what have you been hearing in the last couple of years that has led to this alarm about the increasing number of threats, John?
Well, the numbers are remarkable. I mean, what precipitated our press release was the U.S. Marshal statistics from 2023 showing a triple-digit increase. Now, mind you, these are just federal judges. 457 judicial threats in 23, 155 federal prosecutors. But I did some checking, and in Wisconsin alone, in 2023, there were 150 threats to Wisconsin judges. I don't know if they track threats to prosecutors. So the numbers are really quite alarming. We all remember, I'm sure, back in June of 22 when retired Judge Romer was murdered in Juneau County.
Yes.
Somebody he'd sentenced. It's always been a crime in Wisconsin to threaten prosecutors, threaten judges, threaten advocates in various proceedings. But there is a new law pending just recently, actually, to increase judicial privacy protection here in Wisconsin, to make it a crime to demonstrate at a judge's home if you're trying to obstruct justice. So our legislature and governor, I think, are trying to address it as best you can. But the numbers are quite alarming.
John, do we know, are these threats coming from defendants, or the genesis of these threats?
I would say that from what I've read, most of the threats either are from specific defendants or, of course, people attached to defendants, to them, family, friends, so on, but also issues. There was a federal prosecutor murdered in 2001, still unsolved in Seattle, shot in the evening, working at his desk in his home. His son had been in a school where there'd been a shooter, active shooter, or gun threat of some sort. And this prosecutor, who I only knew just a little bit, became a very active leader in gun control. He was an advocate of some restrictive gun control in Seattle and the state of Washington, I should say. So issues also cause these sorts of threats. I think that's the best way to think about it, both cases and issues.
It's just disturbing. I mean, as you said, I'm sure this is not new, that defendants or friends of defendants, family of defendants, not happy with the decision of the judge or the sentencing, but the issue part of it Is that relatively new, John?
I think so. You know, and I bet everybody listening would remember, it used to be somebody got charged with a crime. They were immediately saying, I'll have my day in court. You know, I'm going to face the jury. They'll see the full facts. And that's fully appropriate. That's our system. Now, when you're charged, it seems the reaction is, oh, they're out to get me. It's all personal. They're doing this because they're trying to take away my gun when in fact you've just robbed some store with a gun. So it does seem to me, as I've thought about this, that it's part of a problem we see much more frequently recently, which is a distrust of institutions, if you will, an attack on institutions and process. As I said, it used to be, I want my day in court. I'll cross-examine witnesses. I'll present witnesses. Now it's the process is wrong. And it's our electoral process, of course, people who don't, and that's our keep our republic's mission, is just understand the process. It doesn't matter which way you want to vote. It doesn't matter, you know, how cases come out. We want you to understand an electoral process and understand our legal process, and then and trust the process. But with all the anger and attacks on various processes, I think that leads to then the attacks on individuals. People see, say, you know, other people saying, oh, don't trust that guy. And certain people take that as an invitation to make a personal threat.
If you're just joining us, John Vaudreuil is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, part of the organization Keep Our Republic, a nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to safeguarding the pillars of American democracy, talking about the increasing number of threats against members of our judiciary and efforts to increase penalties for people who are making those threats. Right, John?
Exactly. I think if people think, well, what's the problem? It's just a case, you know, everybody gets through it. I want them to think about what the rule of law means. What I do now is I fly all around the world and I work with judges and prosecutors and defense attorneys trying to build systems where the rule of law is respected. And by that, I mean, judges and prosecutors make decisions based on facts. Not fear of anyone, not favored anyone. What did a person do? Not who they are, or who they know, or how much money or power. So by doing that, you build trust with the process. And this is a presentation I make all over the world. But I want people to imagine how hard it is, excuse me, to make decisions the right way when in the back of your mind you're thinking, am I going to be threatened? Are my children going to be threatened? What's going to happen to my family? And if we really want the rule of law to be effective, people, judges, prosecutors, as we're talking about today, need to be able to make their decisions based just on the facts, not fear. And it's hard to make those decisions when hard to do your duty when you've got fear in the back of your mind.
Absolutely. And you're worried, like you said, you're worried for your kids, you're worried for your spouse, you're worried for your safety within your own home. And things like this, much like the threats now our librarians are getting and our election workers are getting and teachers are getting, this right. is a great way to scare people away from those professions who might really want to do this job and decide the risk isn't worth it.
Right. I mean, look at the electoral problem with people who don't want to be sitting at our tables in our schools and helping us vote and taking our registration. Who wants to do that when people figure out who you are, they're online, mm-hmm. or they threaten you face to face? That's a problem.
Yes.
And I would hope more broadly that it doesn't affect people who want to become judges or want to become prosecutors, but I think it does. And you won't know it does because they don't apply for a job. They
sure.
don't run for election. I think we used to call it Facebook muscles. That's no criticism of Facebook, but you know, it's easy to be a big, strong guy, which I'm not. Or a big, strong person, I should say, if you're just speaking online. And I just want people to think about, as if I hope they do, but to think about what this means to our system of justice and our also our electoral system, our educational system. we stand apart. When I'm making these presentations out of the country, I know we stand apart and people still look up to us because our systems are sound. But the attacks that are going on and the threats undercut the soundness of those systems.
John, I don't know whether you not will agree with this because, again, we get all kinds of anonymous comments on our live streams and various other ways that people can get in touch with us. And I maintain, because when I started in radio, I did the overnight shift where every strange person in the world will call you at 3:30 in the morning and breathe heavily at you. I maintain that those obscene phone callers are now the keyboard warriors of today.
Well, you have much more experience, unfortunately, or fortunately. But I will say this. I think you're right, because I think it is anonymity. Anonymity gives people courage, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't think courage is the right word. We all know what courage
is. It makes
them
brave.
Courage.
It makes them brave.
Right. And maybe it used to just be back in the day, getting on the phone at 3:30 in the morning. Now, of course, all the beauty and benefit of the internet leads to what we all know is the dark side.
Yeah.
And if you really want to make threats, you run things through an anonymizer, and it looks like you're making the threats from, you know, some foreign, very far part of the world.
Yeah.
And so there's ways to protect the anonymity, but anonymity brings people strength. And because if you really do go to somebody's home and make a threat, you're face to face. Okay. I think you're going to get prosecuted. And I used to say, I wasn't worried about somebody taking me out, because if they did, okay, now the real heat's coming. There will be a case. They will build, people want to build those cases. So there was no effect. But threats online have an effect.
It's an anonymity also mixed with the belief that no matter what is happening, you're never at fault. There's never a cause to, like you were saying, they're coming to take my guns. No, they're going to take your gun because you robbed a place. It's never their fault. There's never responsibility on it. There's no self-reflection.
Personal accountability.
It's always this judge, this lawyer, this society, this president, this everybody. It's their fault, not mine.
No, that's a very good point. Anonymity with a lack of accountability is a dangerous recipe for a system that prides itself on being fair and just, whether it's an electoral system or whether it's a prosecutorial system. I made a speech in 2012 in Kenya about our tradition, our history of the transfer of power, the peaceful transfer of power. And it was all about the process, people knowing if you win or lose, you get another try. There's a process. Similarly with the criminal process, you knew you have a day in court, hire a lawyer, lawyers provided for you, cross-examine witnesses. But people don't think, unfortunately, about the process. They think about just themselves in this one specific moment.
John Vaudreuil is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, and we're talking about the increasing number of threats against members of our judiciary. John, do you have time to stick around for a second segment?
Sure.
That would be great. We can talk about what people can do going forward. If you have a question for John, you can text it in at 844-967-2789. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ooh, yeah.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season, and since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded. But only 60 have been won by Black actors. The first Black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listen for more Black History Stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Tap.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Kelvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always check in, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Our guest this half hour is John Vaudreuil. He is a former U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, also part of the organization Keep Our Republic. And we've had members of the KOR on our show before. Keep Our Republic, a nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to safeguarding the pillars of American democracy. John, before the break, we were talking about this disturbing increase in threats against members of our judiciary. Is there anything the public can do other than not call and threaten members of the judiciary?
That's the number one thing you can do.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, right. That would be my first advice. I think just toning down the heat in your conversation with anybody when you're talking about reading a case in the newspaper and a local case, the judge has made a decision, or a higher court, or the Supreme Court of the United States, whomever. Try and remember the day, and it's not that long ago, when we would talk about these things, and it didn't lead to us going, I wish that son of a gun, you know, could take, I could teach them a lesson. Or so I think one thing we can do, it's easier said than done, is to tone down our anger and to discuss issues without anger and rising temperatures.
It's hard to fight that when you have certain networks, I will say, without pointing anyone out, who seems to feed that and wants to feed that kind of emotion. Fear sells. Fear is a great motivator, and fear sells. And I don't know, maybe just vary your media diet a little and watch outlets that are a little less angry, because I do think that that is implicitly encouraged in some ways.
Well, I think you're right. And it's people who have a forum, whether it's a political forum or a media forum, I suppose, or anybody with a forum, their voice is amplified. My voice is just now just me. But if you have and it doesn't need to be somebody running for president, it doesn't need to be a big famous person. If you have a forum locally, and if you have a forum, you have to know that your voice is amplified. And I know that you're right. Fear sells, and fear maybe gets people to take your side in certain issues. But I think some responsibility for understanding that your message is amplified is something that people need to take to heart.
John Vaudreuil is our guest, former prosecutor. Sorry, I get my notes up here. Former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin. We were talking earlier, John, about I want my day in court. If I'm accused of a crime, I want my day in court. I'm going to present my evidence and I'm going to explain my innocence. Does that, when someone continues to appeal and delay and delay and delay and delay their opportunity to present their evidence in court, that at least in my opinion, makes me question whether or not they have a very strong case.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And I could see why you're thinking that way. I would suggest that if lawyers are challenging evidence and they're arguing that this shouldn't be handled a certain way or they want cases delayed, sometimes that means we don't want our day in court. That can't end well. Sometimes, however, and I have a niece whom I'm very proud of, who's a defense attorney out in Spokane, the public defender. She sees it as her opportunity, as she always puts it, to give a voice to people who would have no voice.
Right.
She represents people who can't afford an attorney, obviously. And to her, that means making sure the government has done everything right, making sure they've, you know, if they've seized evidence or gotten confessions or things like that, she's going to challenge them. And I applaud her for that. Now, the public speech making by lawyers, frankly, whether the defense attorneys or prosecutors, is something that I find very objectionable personally. And I used to find it objectionable professionally when I was a U.S. attorney. The U.S. attorney who hired me said, we speak in court or we don't speak. Meaning you stand up, you speak through your pleadings when you file a charge. And now defense attorneys argue something in court and go to the courthouse steps. The prosecutor is on the other steps making a speech. And that, again, raises the temperature. You've seen things that people object to. Judges putting gag orders, and certainly some of former President Trump's trials. You lawyers and you parties, President Trump and Ms. Carroll, let's say in the Carroll versus Trump case, don't go on the courthouse steps and make speeches. And it's just that to me is a personally saddening thing about the bar and political officials seeing this as a speech attempt rather than a true day in court.
Well, it's kind of cheapening, right? It's kind of cheapening even their own jobs, their own, you know, whether you're a defense attorney or a prosecutor. Yeah. It just feels like grandstanding. And as you said, the place to make your argument is in court, not in front of the public.
Right. I once had a very difficult corruption trial, bribery up at Lac du Flambeau, and the three defendants were found not guilty after a week-long difficult trial with really good lawyers on the other side. And somebody from our local paper in Madison quite correctly said, what do you think of the verdict? And what I said was, I believe in our system. The jury heard the evidence and the jury has decided. But I too often see people from the prosecution side, the defense side, saying, I don't believe what they just did. Those 12 people are wrong. And if that's in fact the case, we've got a big problem. Appeal the cases, certainly, challenge the legal decisions, but do it the way the law calls on you to do it, not by speeches and screaming.
John Vaudreuil is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin and is part of Keep Our Republic. If people would like to find out more, John, about KOR, where can they do that?
There's certainly an online presence, and I can't think of the website.
We'll find it. No problem. We'll find it, and we'll put it in our show notes.
But they certainly can. And I want everybody to know, real quickly, Keep Our Republic is really focused on the time after an election. We want everybody to vote. We want the votes to be counted. We want you to understand how secure Wisconsin's system is.
John Vaudreuil, thank you so very much for your time. Very, very much appreciated. Stay close. News is coming up next. When we return, we go beyond the cheese with soybeans. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete
Schwab.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The Supreme Court considers the content that social media companies should be allowed to delete in cases brought by Republican attorneys